This is Actualize Freedom, straight talk on growing clicks and conversions on Amazon FBA from people doing it every day. Now here's your host, digital marketing acrobat, Danny Kenji Carlson.
What's up, guys? Danny Carlson here with the Actualize Freedom podcast. And today we have on the PPC Ninja, Riju Java, going over product targeting ads. And if you aren't taking advantage of product targeting ads, this is something that is fairly new still to you Amazon sellers. And a lot of sellers are probably not using them. Or if you are using them, they haven't been around long enough to really test out all the different best ways to use them, unless you're someone like the PPC Ninja Riju Java. So she's got a presentation for us. If you guys are listening on the podcast, she's going to talk so that you guys don't need to see the slides. But if you're looking for a video version with some fancy slides and everything too, head on over to our YouTube channel, Kenji ROI over there. So without further ado, let's get into product targeting ads with Riju.
Hi, everyone. So I'm Ritu, and I've been working with Amazon advertising for about 2 years now, and have been in the marketing space for over 10 years. So today I'm going to talk about product targeting ads and why people aren't taking advantage of them and what are some of the ways in which you can set up your targeting ads right away. So the first thing I want to share is, just a little bit of a background on what most people see as a traditional sales funnel, where you're taking shoppers on a journey from awareness to interest to consideration to conversion, which is pretty much the sales funnel that you see in the marketing world. Now, when it comes to Amazon, there is no opportunity like that. We don't have the opportunity to actually nurture shoppers or take them on a journey, because they're like, they're in and then they're out. It's Amazon is this huge sales funnel that attracts a lot of traffic because of the trust that the platform has built over the years. But individually, we don't have access to the customers that Amazon has. They're Amazon's customers, not ours. So what I'm trying to say here is that on the Amazon platform, the typical sales funnel is pretty compressed. It's you have a very short period of time, maybe a few seconds, to grab people's attention. And quickly convince them through your sales copy and through your title and through the bullet points and the price. And if they like it, they're in. Otherwise, they're out. And so what we're trying to do here with PPC Ninja is to encourage people to look at multiple sales funnels, not just one that you would rely on and reach out to your customers over and over again. Instead, you have these multiple sales funnels that are pointed in this different directions. So for example, keywords, they are a type of funnel. You can attract buyers, shoppers by putting out the right keywords. And each of them acts as a sales funnel and brings traffic into your listing. What most people don't do is go beyond keywords. They don't look at products or categories as funnels also. So what we're doing here is trying to show how products that are other competitor products can be used as funnels to drive traffic to your listings if you have designed your ad in a way that it's sitting close to a related product. So it's almost like we're reverse engineering. We're saying, okay, here are some of the related or complementary products on Amazon, and there are these ASINs that we can just put all of them together into an ad and just target them. What happens then is that your ad starts to show up on the detail page and other pages where those products live or wherever they're displayed. So products are a type of funnel, and so is the category itself. And Amazon provides so many categories that we can potentially target. And within categories, we also have subcategories. So you can get pretty, nifty about how to design these ads so that you're targeting the right kind of places. So with that said, I'm just going to jump right into some strategies for product targeting. Okay, so the first strategy that I have for product targeting is the is something that most people are already familiar with. And it was almost like an annoyance at some point because this is the auto-targeting campaigns. Like auto campaigns have, you know, often produced, you know, search terms or have reported search terms that, you know, one can harvest and then, you know, stick them into like manual campaigns, but they also provide, you know, product targets, the products that were clicked before, you know, shoppers discovered your listing. So those ASINs are also reported in your search term report. And over the years, people have tried to negative them out, but it doesn't work. And so there is no way to cleanly negative them out. But you can actually take advantage of those ASINs that are reported in your auto campaigns and just plug them into a new manual campaign, which actually targets them because you already have evidence that people who clicked on those ASINs are actually interested in your product. So that is the first strategy that we use a lot, and it's probably a no-brainer. Like you have to just spend a little bit of time to you know extract those ASINs and then stick them into a new campaign. The second strategy is a little more complex, and it's also very useful if you have a bunch of related products. And you can basically set up a way to target your own products in your own catalog. And I call this strategy the funnel-in-funnel strategy. And the reason is that the way I set these up is I look for products that are already getting a lot of traffic, my high-converting products. And I will stick, you know, one or two or three or four, as many as you have, related products, you know, in the funnel within that, which means I will simply target the main traffic bringer and I will put a bunch of related products so that they will serve as upsell or downsell opportunities. So when someone is not interested in the main product and they look at another one of your products that is maybe cheaper or you know, even more expensive or has more bells and whistles or less, you know, you're basically covering the carousel at the bottom of your detail page where maybe a competitor could have gotten in and led those customers away. So this is a way to basically play defensive and also kind of attract the traffic that was anyway probably going to leave with some of the alternatives that you already have in your catalog. So I hope that makes sense. So the way we set this up is look
for... Yeah, and a lot of people, I think, would argue that you don't want to pay for a customer that's already on your listing and that you're wasting money on that. But I mean, from our experience too, we've seen that it increases average order value. It's going to keep people on your listing that would have clicked onto a competitor's listing or something like that. It's just... the person that's on your listing already is a much more qualified customer than someone you're trying to get from someone else's listing. So you should be doing everything possible to spend money to keep that customer and get the customer to make a sale, right?
Exactly. You know, what you said makes total sense because, you know, these are qualified leads. And when you know that you're placing a related product in the same funnel, then you've already kind of ruled out the fact that, you know, these might be people who are just, you know, browsing. They're actually looking for a product that meets their needs and they're very close to it. So you're just helping them by just making a friendly suggestion and they're seeing your logo along with the main listing that they've already, you know, visited. So it makes sense. It's a no-brainer. I think we should all do it instead of relying on people going to your storefront or something to try to see what else you have. So this is a great strategy and we've seen some really good results with almost like dead products. We kind of revive them by just placing them in the bigger funnel and just create that traffic flow. Okay, so now I'm on to strategy number three, which is what I call the market basket analysis strategy. And this is basically finding pairs of products that are purchased together. And they may not be, you know, either complementary or compatible. They might just be two types of products that are purchased together. And there's, you know, evidence, you know, from data science, which kind of shows that there is a pattern, which, you know, when you go to a retail store, like a grocery store, people who buy milk, you know, they also buy bread and eggs and toilet paper. Now, all of these products are neither related nor complementary, nor are they compatible, but they are somehow purchased together. And the science behind this is actually available in the form of data within Amazon. Like if you have a brand registry, then your brand analytics data will already be giving you lots of data showing which products are purchased together with yours. So we try to extract that information from brand analytics, and then we put together these, what we call market basket funnels. And, you know, if for some reason you don't have a brand registry and you don't have access to brand analytics, there are still other ways of trying to find out which products are sold together. And, you know, one of the tools that I discovered recently, which unfortunately might be going away because of some changes in API, is yassiv.com. I don't know if I'm getting the pronunciation right, but yasiv.com. What this does is that it gives you a visual map of all the different products that are purchased together. And this gives enough data for you to kind of just, you know, go looking for similar or related products. So there's this mishmash for people who are listening on, just to the audio version. There's like this visual map of products leading to other products that are, I believe this is scraped from Amazon's customers who purchased this, also purchased this band on their page. And so that's where this is probably coming from, or it might be an API. I'm not 100% sure, but this is a great way to, you know, look for related products. Another way is to look at reverse ASIN tools, and they can also tell you what your competitors are. And, you know, sometimes along with competitors, you also get products that are purchased together. So this, what's showing up on my screen is the way I design my market basket or product targeting ads. I just put all the ASINs into campaigns. Like this one is for, you know, all these 10 campaigns that I'm showing on the screen right now are actually targeting one ASIN, or actually advertising one ASIN, but are targeting all these 150 or even more ASINs. And so the way I run these is that I try to limit each campaign to about 20 ASINs, no more than that, because otherwise the budget gets distributed. And there's also, there's a difficulty in trying to extract data, relevant, meaningful data over time. So what I do is I split out the ASIN list into several campaigns, and I let them run at a very low bid, maybe 20 cents or something, sometimes even lower. And I, I just go with the philosophy of fail fast, fail often. And, you know, whichever campaigns I see are not producing results within 2 to 3 weeks, I bid them further down, or I just stop them. I just hone in on the ones that have taken off, and I just run with those. So, conclusion. Try to create more product targeting ads, because, you know, this is one way to scale your Amazon PPC. Keywords can only give you so much, and I'm not, undermining the importance of keyword-based campaigns. They are fundamental, they are foundational, but, people will hit a wall when it comes to scaling, because, you know, you cannot scale keyword-based campaigns endlessly. Like, you can't just put like a $50,000 budget on a campaign and hope that it'll grow that much, you know, even if it's giving you a good ROI or ROAS. And also the
also
other
just leaving money on the table, right? If you're not doing product targeting ads, that's some easy money that you can go in there and figure it out. And then that's an extra source of sales for your product. Right.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. And also with bids, the other thing I wanted to say was that with bids also, you cannot scale endlessly. Like, you know, if even if you've, gone beyond the acceptable, max bid in your mind, let's say it was $2 or $3, and you've actually, you know, gone and bid like $10 or something, even that won't give you scale. It can give you, maybe some top placements or certain placements that you're interested in, but it won't be enough to scale. So I have seen that product targeting ads are the best way of scaling laterally. So instead of just looking at keyword-based campaigns, I would say, you know, look at all the other different options that Amazon is already providing. And their data at this point is amazing. Like, they have all this information about which products are related to which products. So even if you have no tools whatsoever, just spend some time on the, you know, just punch in some keywords and see what, you know, products show up on the first page, just go for those, or maybe second page or third page, maybe separate them out into different campaigns. You know, figure out your own way of, you know, targeting these different ASINs, but do take advantage. The other place where you could use product targeting is also in sponsored brand ads now, but if you don't have brand registry, you know, just with sponsored products also, you can, you know, achieve the same thing. So that's more or less about product targeting ads. Now, I'm going to quickly go over category targeting also, because this is also another source of great, you know, like funnel traffic, I call them. It's like just funnels. So category targeting ads will automatically populate the category that is most related to your advertised ASIN, but you can also be creative, because I've noticed that, you know, so for example, there's one customer of ours that has electronics products. And so what I discovered through some digging around was that people who are purchasing books, you know, technical books, are also purchasing some USB-based products. So I paired them up, like I targeted books as a category, and I started seeing results. Now, who would have thought that a product could be, you know, or that traffic from a book could be led into a product's page? So that works, and you know, you can be creative and see other ways to attract clicks and impressions from categories that you probably didn't think of. I also have some other refinements that I do, such as so the category targeting is the only one that provides a little bit of refinement. You can specify which brand you want to target. Okay, and then you can also specify the price range, like no less than a certain amount, because you want to make sure that people have already bought into around the same price range that you're offering, because otherwise they won't be interested, you know. So try to make your offer look more attractive to the page that they are on, and then they should be, you know, willing to click over to your listing. So price range is the second. Then you also have review star rating. You also have the option to check you know, shipping, whether it's Prime eligible or not. And then in some categories, you also have the additional refinement of age range. So let's say you have a product for teenagers, and the age ranges that pop up there, definitely you don't want to target toddlers, right? Or products or categories that are for toddlers. So you would just make sure that you select the right age range, and then you're good to go. So yeah, so those are some of the ways in which you can basically set up, you know, almost like these traps or funnels everywhere, so that you can start getting more and more impressions from different avenues. So that's
love it. Yeah, that was a very good look at that here. And for people watching on the video too, you have a slide in front of us here that's showing. Can you just explain some of these numbers for the people listening on the podcast?
Yes. So I am just showing results from some of the product targeting and category targeting ads that we've been running for some of our customers. And what I'm showing here is the 30-day data for a bunch of product targeting ads. The ACOS is pretty good. It's 11.45%. There were 185 orders and sales worth $20,000 in a month. So pretty good. I mean, without this ad, I would have lost this money. So that's great. And then the second slide I have is results from the category targeting data. Again, 30 days. Similar ACOS, 11.41. It's an ACOS to die for, literally, for the category that this product is in. So there you have it. Product targeting ads, definitely, guys, try it out. It's easy to set up. You don't need to, you know, worry about any copy or anything. Is similar to any other product targeting ad. Design your ad so that you're targeting the right types of ASINs. And even if you're not, it's okay. You can just, you know, like I said, fail fast, fail often, and test it out, and happy scaling.
Awesome, Ritu. Well, that was a super value-packed episode for those of you who have not gotten into product targeting yet or want to make your product targeting even better. And for people who want to reach out to you or learn more about what you do online, where's the best place for them to do that?
Yeah, so our website is ppcninja.com, and feel free to scan if you're watching, or just look at ppcninja.com. You can also reach out to me directly on LinkedIn and Twitter. My handle is RituJava, RITUJAVA, and/or email ritu@ppcninja.com. I'm happy to interact with you guys and share some ideas. Yeah.
Awesome. And if you guys are looking for any of those links, you can find those at the show notes at actualizefreedom.com. And also we'll have the link to the YouTube version as well there. So it just has some slides that are just showing a little bit more detail about what Ritu was talking about there. So, and if you guys haven't already, go leave us a review on iTunes, on Stitcher, or a really easy way, go to ratethispodcast.com/free, and then automatically it's going to open up whatever app is on your phone that you're going to leave a review, and leave a 5-star review. If it's a 4-star one, you guys probably know this already, but I cry myself to sleep at night. So it's got to be 5 stars, or else I get really, really sad, really, really depressed. So make sure it's 5 stars. Really appreciate it. And thank you for your time, Ritu.
Thank you. Thank you, Danny.
For show notes and resources mentioned in this episode, visit kenjiroi.com.